So I want to look at preparing for the Lord's return, part three. Amen. And I hope not to go too long, 10:25. I'll be able to get this done. Last week, we looked at three themes: love, godliness, and abiding. We talked about how love is going to increase according to Paul's prayer. What was in the book of Philippians, I believe, that the let love would increase and abound toward one another and to all. He said, right? Then he told Timothy to grow in godliness. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. People out there teaching, about money and things and get all this stuff. And you would think Paul was talking about our day. Because he is. He was.
Amen.
Same thing going on in our day today was going on in his day. People were Christian pastors. There were people out teaching that godliness is gain. That the more stuff you got, the bigger your bank account, all of his business was godliness. Sorry. Paul said, no, that's not right. But he told Timothy to pursue righteousness, which Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, right?
Right. Amen.
Pursue godliness, pursue gentleness, patience, goodness. Told him to pursue all of these things, holiness, faith. Right?
Right.
All of these intangibles. So I hope you see that love, godliness, and abiding in Christ were all intangibles. We talked about that last week. Look, Jesus don't care how much stuff you got.
Amen.
Amen.
I said, Jesus does not care how much stuff.
Amen.
He told the rich young ruler, you know all that stuff you got? Go give it away. Go sell it. Give it to the poor. He said,
Yep.
come and follow me. Well, people preaching that today. You ain't gonna find that too many because once they start preaching that, people gonna get up and walk out. Hey,
That's right.
I'm here to learn how to get a blessing. So I was learning here. Tell me how to hit. That's not why I'm here. No. We are preparing for the Lord's return. And when he returns, no thing is going to matter.
That's right.
It's all gonna burn. It's all going to be wiped away. Hello.
Amen.
We are preparing for the Lord's return, and the Lord is preparing us for his return. He's preparing us. We'll see that in a little bit. So this is the scripture that God got hung up on. Okay, I read this, and I was like, okay, I got to stop. I got more scriptures behind this one. But this one set me off where we're going today. So let me read it. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. And quickly, you know what it means?
Take your crown.
Quickly. But Jesus quickly and out quickly are two different things because you remember Peter chapter 3 or 2 Peter, where Peter said, I know some of you are saying, where's the promise of his return? Everything's going on since the creation of the world. Ain't nothing changed. Where's the promise of his coming? He says, remember this, that the world that then was being in the water and out of the water was being preserved by God's word. He said, and this world that we're living in is being prepared, reserved by God's word, because it's reserved unto fire. He says, but remember this, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Right.
He said, I'm coming quickly. Well, he only been gone for 2 days.
Man, right.
Hey, that's
great.
I got it. It's been 2,000 years since he's been gone. Say 2 days is a pretty short time.
That's right.
Come the third day, he could come the fourth day. It didn't matter what day he comes. It's in those Bible terms, but it's a long time for us. It's millennia for us. You say, I don't believe that anymore. You do that at your own peril.
Right.
So Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. It's interesting to me how that both applies to the day that Paul was living in, that John the Apostle, who wrote this book of Revelation, it applied to his day, but it equally applies to our day. It's God, he's just so wise in how to take a word that is 2,000 years old and to make it applicable to that day and also to our day. That's just only God.
No one did a song.
Well, here's where I got caught up. Hold fast. Okay, so Jesus says he's coming now. In preparation of his quick return, he said, do this. Hold fast. Mm-hmm. Hold fast. That word means to use strength to seize and to retain. To seize and to retain. Right? Hold fast what you have. I'm coming quickly, therefore, he said, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, Jesus, what are we supposed to do? Well, I'm going to tell you what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hold fast, to use all of our strength to seize and to retain what has been given to us. And Jesus says that no one may take your crown. Now, if Jesus says hold fast so that no one can take your crown, then it must be possible for someone to take your crown. Hello.
Okay.
Hold fast that no one does it, right? So here we are. Our job is to hold fast. Now, what's interesting to me is that this crown that Jesus is talking about, and that's, we're going to get to that later, but right, we're not getting that, not in this message. We're getting that to a later message. Because we have to deal with this hold fast what you have. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what you have? What is Jesus talking about? Okay, if we're supposed to hold fast and we don't know what it is we're supposed to hold fast to, but we're in trouble unless we give it up. Oh.
Yeah, faith.
Hey. I just said it. Those.
Sorry.
Jesus didn't make it difficult. It's not hard. You know, Jesus is not so deep. He was talking about, I wonder. So he's talking about our faith, amongst other things. He's talking about the faith that he's given. The first thing to me is this. The crown comes from Jesus. Right? Do you have a crown now? No, I don't see no crown. The crown is going to come from Jesus. But what we have been given right now is what we're holding in order to receive that crown.
Mm-hmm.
Hold fast. You keep what you're not going to get that crown. So, do we know what it is? Let's be clear. It's our faith, church. The greatest thing you have is not tangible.
Right. That's right.
You have, nobody can give to you, nobody can take away. Only one, but God gives it to you. And if God gave it to you, can't nobody take it away.
No.
But now you can give it. You can't hold it so loosely and not hold it real fast, not hold it tight. You can give it up so that people talking about deconstructing today. They're talking about deconstructing their faith. Why did I believe come to believe in Jesus and talking themselves out of their faith? I'm like, if you talked yourself out of your faith, then you didn't have true faith to begin with. So the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith.
Faith.
It is the gift of God, not of works. It comes from God. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is from heaven. True faith comes from heaven. It comes from God. It's the gift that God gives to us. You don't talk yourself into it. You don't talk yourself out of it. At least I hope people don't. Because if you talk yourself out of it, you just gave up the greatest gift known to man, known to born again man. All right. So you remember, and I haven't forgotten about the book of Job. I still remember we're in the book of Job. In our study of Job, Job was struggling to keep his belief or his faith solid in a stock God because he didn't understand God is sovereign over all things. He couldn't conceive of that. And the devil would want to try and use that to use him to curse God to his face, to cast off his faith. But Job didn't do that. Amen? All right. So let's look at, so now that we've established this whole fast, I want to go back to some scriptures in the New Testament and see where Paul and other writers use this same term. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting verse 1, He said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are also saved. Now, let me tell you something. This gospel is a gospel because he says, in which also you have received it, you stand in it, and you are saved by it. If you hold fast. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. Now, let me make it very clear that according to Paul, what we are to do with the gospel is to believe it and to continue to believe it. That was hold fast, to seize it, to hold on to it. Don't let it go. Hold fast the word that was preached to you. What word? That Jesus Christ was God from heaven, the eternal Son of God. He died upon the cross, was buried, and on the third day, he rose again, coming back to receive unto himself his own people, of which we are. And we all were born again because of that. Paul says, hold fast to that. Don't let it go, because if you do, you have believed in vain. In other words, the benefits of your believing in Christ, you have now forfeited. If you don't hold fast to the faith that was given to you. So what did Peter tell us in Acts chapter 15? Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So what are we to do with the gospel? We're to believe it and we're to hold fast. We're to keep on believing it. My job as a pastor, according to God's word, is to see to it that your faith is intact when it comes time for you to leave here. Mm-hmm. That's my prayer above all things. Now, all kinds of things can happen to us while we're here. But let's be clear. Whatever happens in this life, hold fast to your faith. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Above all things. See, it doesn't matter what happened to me. As long as I hold fast to my faith in Jesus Christ, come what may. I am in Christ and he me. The Father put me in his son. Amen. He did that and I continue to believe according to his word. I hold fast to that which has been given to me as a gift of faith by God's grace. It was God who's given us the gift, but it is our job to keep the faith.
Amen.
Said, I kept the faith. I ran the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. What God has done to us, we are required to keep. Right? And that's simply what Paul is saying here. All right. So all of this is... all this is magnifying or just encouraging what Jesus is here to hold on to what you have.
Mm-hmm.
What you have. In the book of Hebrews, one must understand that all the people that the writer of Hebrews was speaking to were being under tremendous persecution. And because of this persecution, they were tempted to cast off their faith. They were tempted to say, oh, no, we don't know if we're going to want to... continue trusting in Jesus, because people stealing our goods, they're beating us, they're doing this, they're doing that. Some people have died. And the writer of Hebrews was constantly saying, no, keep the faith. Keep the faith. So we look at Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 5, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house we, if we hold fast the confidence, if we hold fast the confidence, Jesus Christ has made us his house, his eternal.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that blows the mind. I can't get my mind around that. He's made us his eternal dwelling place. That's what he's done to us. But now what's our part? It's to hold fast. Hold fast, to keep believing. Hold fast, that word hold fast means outspokenness, bluntness, assurance, boldness of speech. Yes, I am a child of God. And yes, he is coming again to receive unto himself his own church, his own people, his bride, and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Well, to continue being his house, we must continue to believe the truth that God has revealed to us concerning his son.
Amen.
Okay? Hebrews chapter 3, a few verses later, in verse 14, we read, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence or our assurance." This is the same word. This word, confidence, there is the same word that is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That word confidence there is the same word as substance. We have it by faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. The faith that we have, we're to hold fast to it because it's the substance. It's the substance of what Christ said we're going to receive in the end. That being his house, that being his people. So he said, hold fast our confidence steadfast to the end. Don't let anyone take your faith. You know, over in the Middle East and over other countries, over in the East, people have guns held to their head and told them to renounce Jesus Christ or die. Well, if you think about it, I believe in Jesus Christ right now, and I'm going to die.
That's right.
So if I die early, if you shoot me, you kill me. Well, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yeah.
I'm living as Christ, but if I die, it's gain. I'm sorry, I'm not renouncing Christ. Pull the trigger. Time to go. It's time to go. I was reading the news, and a lady who was a commentator on CNN, 58 years old. They found her outside, dead. It was her time. She just gone. They don't know what. They believe she had a medical emergency, but they found her out in her backyard. She was just out in the backyard. To live is Christ and to die is gain. But we're going to hold fast to our faith. You know, I'm sure you've heard, like me, over the years, people in America talking about, you're going to start persecuting Christians. I've been hearing this for decades. You're going to persecute Christians. Oh, my goodness. And people all up in their feelings and their emotions about it. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, okay. So, what are we going to do? We're going to kill them. Is that what Jesus did? Is that what Jesus did?
No.
No, it wasn't. No, he forgave the people who were persecuting. He forgave the people who were killing him. That's a whole nother message. Lord Jesus, help us.
Amen.
By some time, I say to myself, I don't know what type of Christians are these. Talk
American.
Talking about
American. Have mercy.
Be true. But if you pay attention to world news, this stuff is going on all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits come. And I'm like, oh my goodness, my Christian's gonna now kill people before they're killed. And you won't find that anywhere in the Bible. Anywhere in the New Testament.
Right. Come on now.
Nowhere. God help us in these places. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." let us hold fast our confession. What confession? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died that we might, that our sin, as a propitiation to God, that our sin might be forgiven. That now we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let's hold fast onto that confession. But if somebody breaks into my house and steals my TV, hey man, look, take the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if they steal the car, oh well, I can replace the car. Mm-hmm. Oh, besides that, I got 2 feet. Amen. Yeah, I don't care. But you're not gonna have my faith. No, we must hold fast to our confession of faith. Why? Because the writer of Hebrews was constantly warning the Hebrews not to commit apostasy, which is turning away from and drawing back from Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is forever who he said he is. Therefore, our confession concerning him should forever be what it is, what Christ said it should be. Amen?
Amen.
Look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may expand some. Are we pressing on today? And if we are, what are we pressing on for? I'm working. I'm trying to save up enough money. I want to get this. I'm trying to save. I want to get that. Problem with temporal goals. But what are we pressing on beyond that? What are we putting all of our heart and our emotion and our spiritual strength and energy into? Paul says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Let me tell you something. God saved you for a reason and a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Stand on Paul's life, called him to be an apostle and caused him to preach the gospel. And in Acts chapter 9, he told Ananias, he said, tell Paul that he's going to have to suffer great things for my name's sake. Oh, no, I told you. He'd be like, well, what? You're not into that prophetic word. Well, Jesus told Paul through Ananias, you're going to suffer great things for my name's sake. Paul said, I'm ready. He said, I'm pressing toward it. I want to do all that God laid his hand on me for. Well, none of that can happen if we don't hold fast to our faith. Paul says every day he gets up, I press on that I may lay hold of that. God has laid hold on my life for a reason. God has laid hold on our life for a reason. And they pursue that for which he laid hold his hand on our lives for, right? But Paul talked about it obtaining a natural prize as he used in a race analogy. They were running for the prize. At the end, you would grab the prize. You would seize the prize. Now, Christ has given us an eternal prize that we're to press on for as well. All right. Now, but no, what I love about this scripture is that what Paul did was based upon what Christ did. He was laying hold on that which Christ had also laid hold on him. So God first. God first put his hand on Paul. Then Paul began to seek God for that which God put his hand on him.
Yes.
It's the same as when we say in 1 John 4:19, when the scripture says, we love him because he first loved.
Yes.
God is always first. Make no mistake about it. He's always first. And then we come in response to do as what God has done toward us. That's what Paul is saying here. In fact, one cannot lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus, you can't lay hold for anything unless Jesus lays hold on you first, right? That's the way it works. We see it here in Philippians chapter 2 when Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. My God. And so Paul says, your obeying God has to do with God working in you. Amen. And the reason why we can obey Paul's letters, the reason why the Philippians could obey his words was because Christ, by the power of his spirit, was in them working to bring the word to pass. So no Christian has an excuse of why. Well, I can't keep that commandment. I'm sorry, I can't keep that one. Oh, no, no, that's not how it works. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. The Spirit and the Word always agree. So what we read in the Word here, the Spirit is on the inside of us, already has already fashioned us so that we can keep the Word of God. Amen. Isn't it beautiful how God works? And some people say, I want to be like Adam again. No, you don't. Adam did not have God living on the inside of him.
Man.
I don't know how glorious, if we understand how glorious God has made us as a new creation. I'm telling you right now. Adam and Eve didn't have God, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of them, speaking to the inside of them. speaking constantly, always knowing what God likes, knowing what he prefers, knowing. That's why Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in us, letting us know what pleases God. Adam and Eve didn't have that. I want to be like Adam and Eve. No, I want, when God restores something, he always restores it better than it was the first time. Look at Job. Job was, he had a double portion. The Bible says God gave a double portion to Job. He had twice as many, twice as much money, twice as much stuff. He was better. Well, when we're the new creation, God made us better than well, so God's living on the inside of us. The presence of God, I'm telling you, there is nothing, absolutely no comparison. Oh, my good. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God lets us know what pleases him. He does it all the time. He lets us know what his will is. We said, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he said, and give your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship, understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said that God lets us know what his will and what his pleasure is, because God is living on the inside of us. All right. Now, what else does he say? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things. And as I read this and study this, again, this word hold fast means to with much effort to seize and retain. To seize and retain. Test all things. And again, I believe here Paul is not talking about, he's not talking about tangible things. He's talking about things that are true, that are pure, that are just. He said to the Philippians, whatever is true, just, noble, of good report, the being virtue and praise, meditate on these things. Mm-hmm. Meditate on these things. Those are not tangible things. He's saying the same thing here. Test all things. Keep doing the things that are good. That's what he's referring to here. He says again in 2 Thessalonians, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast and hold the traditions. And the church is full of traditions. The church back in that day, Jesus rebuked the church back in that day, or the law and the Levitical priesthood, the people of that day. Because he said, you keep the traditions of men, but you disobey the commandments of God. Right? Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of traditions. I'll name two. Easter and Christmas. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't tell us to celebrate his birth. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell us every year you have to do and put trees and and Easter we do candy and people do mm-hmm. things. And Jesus didn't tell us to celebrate. I tell you, we did do today what Jesus told us, commanded us to celebrate. He said, remember my death.
Yes, that's right.
And as you do, he said, you remember the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said, to be baptized. He said, he who is coming is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That was Jesus. John the Baptist baptized with water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're to stand fast in those traditions. But there are also traditions that, we have traditions that are, oh my goodness, how many? They call them sacred cows, things that people don't want to kill in the church. I'll never forget David Morales telling me that in the church he grew up in, he went to church one day. He had on a nice, shirt, button down, button up, and he walked in the front door. I don't know if it was a deacon or who it was, but the church, I don't know if it was apostolic, holiness, whatever, but the church that he was in, the person came up to him and said, you don't have on a suit coat. You know, a
jacket.
You don't have a suit coat. Go home. The person would not allow him to stay in church. He was like, yeah. I was like, I never heard anything like that in my life. Where in the Bible does it say?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you where I was going to get into it here, but maybe another message. I'll tell you where it is addressed in the epistles. James chapter 5. James said, hey, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus with partiality or hypocrisy. Because mm-hmm. it's dressed in a certain way, and you say, hey, yeah, you look good. Go sit over here. But it's mm-hmm. a dress, and you say, hey, sit in my footstool. You ain't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We put standards. James says, that's not right. That's mm-hmm. not right. We put standards on people. I think it was Marilyn who told me, when you came to church, the girls, the skirt or the dress, they had a ruler. And they would measure from your knee or down. And it would measure how high the dress was. And if it didn't meet that standards, go home, change your clothes, and come back. I was like, yeah. And so we have standards that are not right. And Paul said, test all things, hold to that which is good. What's not good, you turn the people away because they're not dressed according to your standard.
Right, your standard.
Well, that's it, this Eric. Your standard. God. Mm-hmm. God. You can look at the church, see all kinds of things, madness going on, you know. Yeah. And I'm convinced that Jesus saves us in spite of ourselves. Not we definitely know it's not have anything to do with our merit. Because I'm sorry, like I said last week, I thought Christians were the creme de la creme. I'm like, Lord, we tore up. He's like,
yeah, we are.
Yeah, you are. I mean, oh my goodness, God help us as we struggle. As we often do. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says, by faith we lay hold. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life. It's through faith that we're saved. Right? This is why the devil... your faith and my faith. Mm-hmm. Whatever he can do to cause us to doubt it, to be weak in the knees or to question, you know, God, I can't believe you let this happen. What happened? I don't care what it is. He made this happen. I'm in the kingdom. I'm saved. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens now. There's no way I'm casting off my faith. There's no way I'm disbelieving in Christ, my Lord. I'm holding on because what is the outcome of your faith? It's eternal life. That's the outcome. Did you know that every day you and I are fighting the good fight of faith? We're fighting the good. We're fighting to hold on, to keep the faith that Christ has given to us. You've heard people say, keep the faith. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what it refers to. Why? Because there's a reward for keeping the faith. Eternal life, the crown of life, Paul said, that God is going to give to those who love him. So every day, Christians fight the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, all day long, we are fighting because all of those are actively working to prevent us from realizing the gift of God given to us through the faith in God. Peter said it this way, receiving the end of your faith. What is the end of your faith? What's the end result? What does God give you faith for? And it's not a Cadillac. It's not a Tesla. Come on. Any of that. It's not the six bedroom house with whatever bathroom. No, it's not that. No, the end of your faith. This is what God wants you to realize, the salvation of souls. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Ephesians.
Amen.
All right, let's look at this one. Paul told Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or high-minded or conceited or prideful, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing wrong with being rich because God gives us richly all things. He does. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with being rich, but the rich need to add something to it.
Amen.
Verse 18. Let them do good. Be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share.
Amen.
Jesus told the rich young ruler, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. So there's no problem with having much. There's no problem with enjoying much. Okay? But what we must do is understand that there's a reason why God made us rich. Let me explain. God does not make you rich just for yourself.
Amen.
All right.
Let them do good and be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. The rich young ruler wasn't willing to share.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The rich man and Lazarus, the rich man didn't want to help Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
To share. The Bible says Lazarus was just wanting some scraps from the table. He didn't say, invite me in. Could I get a bone? Man, could you cast me a bone? Give me something. Rich people today, I've been looking at billionaires and millionaires in this country, and all they want to do is get richer. I'd be like, oh my goodness. Now, there are plenty of wealthy people. They understand this. Christians,
yes. They
do good, and they're rich in good works, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he says in verse 19, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me be clear to what this is not saying. It's not saying if you share your riches, that means you're going to get eternal life. No, that's
amen.
Life. That
amen.
Is what it's saying. No, it's saying the exact opposite. Those who have eternal life, Paul is wanting the Christians to know. That's why he says, command those, let them do good. People who have eternal life don't hoard earthly riches to themselves. They give them away. Why? Because they know they have a treasure in heaven much greater than anything down here.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Much greater than anything down here.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told men, give your stuff to the poor and you shall have treasures in heaven.
Mm. That's right.
A lot of people are blinded by earthly riches. They think that if they hold on to earthly riches, they're going to be okay or better off. Mm-mm, wrong. No. If you give away your earthly riches to the poor, to the glory of God, you're going to
be in heaven. Amen. Amen.
Our priorities are in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
It's here and now. Nope, it's not. It's not. It's not about the here and now. It's about the there and then.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people who have eternal life, who understand, then we are to be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's move on. 2 Timothy chapter 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Timothy is commanded by Paul to maintain the characteristic healthy and sound words spoken by Paul himself. Hold fast. So there, we see this, what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, where we started. We see this pattern all through the epistles. Hold fast. Obtain and keep, retain this in your life. Now, I'm hearing Christians been going on forever, though. Christians giving in to cursing, cussing, and unhealthy. Mm-hmm. All the time. People, matter of fact, there's one pastor. He's called the cussing pastor.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Yeah, he in his sermons, he often cuss. Why sit there smoking a cigar? He thinks he's showing freedom in Christ. He thinks he's showing his freedom in Christ. But actually, he's leading God's people astray, teaching them to be loose.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching them to be loose. Here's a question. If Jesus was on this video call, do you think any Christians would be cussing and cursing as they were doing? Jesus was in the room with us right now, sitting, we're talking to Jesus. Would Christians be cussing?
Nope.
And use language and all kinds of words as they're talking to Jesus? I don't think so.
Nope.
You know why? Because the Holy Spirit on the inside will let them know, hey, no, that doesn't please me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world, to this day, the world still notices when you don't cuss. They even say, I feel, excuse me, I know you don't cuss, but. Mm-hmm. Don't say nothing about cussing.
Right.
You live your life.
Amen. Amen.
Sin getting convicted. Sin sitting up here. I said, like, oh, Lord Jesus, help us.
Mm.
How can the world be convicted and the church not?
Right. Right.
God help us. This is a good tradition. Your language clean. Amen. 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 Hebrews yes. 10, verse 19. Look at this. Now, here the writer of Hebrews is using the Old Testament ceremonial law to communicate New Testament realities, right? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus, stop. Well, number one, only one person could enter the holiest, but with the blood of an animal that he had first offered for himself, then for the people. That was high priest. It only happened one time a year. And if you weren't right, he could die. That to let us know God has, he has overshadowed all that. That was an old wineskin. This is a new wineskin. We now have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So as opposed to the 5-foot thick, they said, veil that separated the holiest and the holiest place from the holiest, we now go through Christ's flesh. And because his flesh was torn for us, was broken for us, now we are ushered into the presence of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Now, the bodies washed with pure water. Remember, they had holy water? Not as the Catholic Church, but... they had water that would sprinkle on you if you were unclean, and they would sprinkle the water on you, and you would be declared clean. Well, Jesus has, we've been sprinkled. Our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what that's referring to. Then he says this, let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. Don't give up our confession of hope. I also thought about, when I read that, I thought about, if you remember, in the Old Testament, when a sacrifice was offered, when you came with your goat or whatever, as a sin offering, or as a trespass offering, you laid your hands on that goat first, and you confessed over that goat your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And then the priest would kill it.
Mm-hmm.
So they would lay their hands and confess over. And that's what happened to us in Christ. All of our sins were laid upon him, past, present, and future. So let us hold fast our confession. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he bore my sin.
Amen.
My transgressions on that cross. That's another mm-hmm. reason why it's so important to not cast off your confession of faith. Because if you cast off your confession of faith, you have no, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no covering for sin. We're still in our sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we hold fast. Again, the writer of Hebrews was telling the Jews at that time, don't cast off your confession. Amen. Hold mm-hmm. on. Right? Because through Christ, we've been made clean and given access to God's presence through the blood of Jesus. Even though they were facing much persecution and hardship from non-believers around them. And so, to end, let me just share three scriptures from the book of Revelation to emphasize the whole thing about being persecuted, because that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying here. Hold fast this confession without wavering. Jesus said to the church I think this would be the church after Ephesus. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So the persecution is so bad that Christians are being burnt at the stake. They're being martyred. They're being killed for their faith. And Jesus said, yet you're holding fast to my name. You did not tell this church to hold fast because they were already holding fast. He acknowledges the fact that they are holding fast. You're still holding fast to my name. Jesus looked at that and said, remember he said the same thing to John the Baptist? He said, John the Baptist said, hey, for another, you know, I'm in prison. Hey, not looking good for me. And Jesus said, hey, blessed is he who's not offended in me. He didn't tell John, hey, John, I'm going to deliver you. Open the prison doors. In Acts chapter 12, James was killed with the sword, but Peter, he opened up the prison doors for Peter. But James' lot was to die. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
He held fast to his name. That was the most important. You say, what was the most important thing that happened to James who was martyred? That he was martyred? No, that he held fast to Christ's name. That was the most important thing to happen.
Amen.
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 Revelation 2:25, but hold fast what you have till I come. Jesus says what he said. This is to a different church. He said this in Revelation 3:11, but he says this to a church in Revelation 2:25. Hold fast what you have. Now, that means Jesus didn't tell them what it was that they have because the church would have already known what they have. Okay, are we clear now what we have? We want to make sure that we are clear. Hold fast what God has given you. Don't let it go for anything. For anything. Hold fast what you have. Last scripture, Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Interesting. That remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. That harkens back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul said, moreover, I declare unto you that gospel, which I preached to you at the beginning, how you received, how you've heard, and in which you stand, by which you are saved. Jesus says much of the same thing here. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. This is not something tangible. He's telling them to hold fast to the faith that they heard, received, and heard through the word of the gospel that was preached to them. Hold fast. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So when Jesus returns, Christians will be under pressure and persecution, which will cause some to consider to walking away from the faith. It's going to cause some, as it was in that day, is going to be in this day. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. So there's going to be pressure and persecution upon Christians. And some of them are going to consider, and some will walk away from the faith. We've seen it happen today. Now, we'll see, Lord willing, and if that person comes back to Christ, or they were never in Christ from the beginning, right? We are told to hold fast to the faith given to us by God. Therefore, hold fast, saints. Hold fast.
Amen.
Amen.
Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Thank you.
All right. I'm going.
Just something to say. I remember a friend of mine said, you know, if at this age you don't have the $1 million that you're looking for, right? Just forget about it. Get on with your life and focus on the things that matter in life.
That's good, brother.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what that does accentuate is this. What we have needed to live to this point, God has made sure we have.
Amen.
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 Is now amongst temporal things, food, clothing, shelter, and all that. Yeah, but the most important is our faith.
Amen.
The day God saved you, he gave you faith. And you've had that faith to this day because of God's presence in your life. And he's saying, whatever you do, never give that up.
Amen.
Never give that up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kweku. Any comments or questions? All righty. Thank you for coming on. The blessing of the Lord be with you all week. Amen. Sweet.
Yeah.
Amen.